Father, we just thank you so much for this evening. We thank you so much for this time together, Lord. Where two or three are gathered in your name, your word says that you are here. So we thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit, because without your presence, we have nothing. We don't have peace. We don't have direction. We don't have joy because we need the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, you said before you left that you will leave us something greater. And that was your Spirit, Lord. And so we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here amongst us, Lord. Thank you for your protection and bringing everyone here safely, Lord. Thank you so much for the beautiful music that we had here tonight, Lord, that we could just sit and listen to the giftings that you have given others, Lord. Thank you for that, Father, because that is a gift to get to listen to such beautiful worship in a free environment. Amen? We thank you that we're not hiding out somewhere trying to get a glimpse of heaven, Lord. We thank you so much for the freedom that we have to enjoy your riches now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just decree and declare, Lord, that our eyes would be open here tonight, that we may see your goodness, that our ears would be open, that we may hear from you, Father. I pray that our minds would be alert and that they would be open to understand, and our hearts would be open to receive that which you are speaking to the church tonight, Lord. This is your stage. This is your event, Father, and I give you full authority to rule and reign as you see fit here tonight. Lord, we just pray that the women would not leave here tonight with good information, but that they would leave with a heart transformation, Father, because it's in the positioning of our heart that things change in our lives, Father. It's not in the changing of our circumstances, but it's in the changing and the positioning of where we place our heart towards you. Father, and we're here tonight because we want to know more about you. Oh, like Paul said, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Father, that's why we come here tonight, is to know more of you, to get more understanding, to get more wisdom, as Solomon declared in Proverbs, to put wisdom around your neck, for it will save you. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing, individually, corporately, internationally, Lord. We know that you are working in places we are not aware of, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this time, Father. In your mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Can we just give Carly a hand? That was beautiful worship. If you are been to my Bible study before, you're going to look up and see Carly and think, oh, that's somebody new. I don't see her. I don't know her. Well, Michelle, who usually does our worship, is having a baby like literally in a week. And she was like, uh-uh. She goes, I would be playing the guitar like on a piano up here. So we were like totally fine. And God brought Carly along. And I am so grateful and so thankful that she was able to come and lead worship for us. So thank you, Carly. That was beautiful. So beautiful. Love it. Love it so much. Thank you so much again. Also, if you came in after Emily sat down, we have books. Yay! Books. So we did this in the spring, and everyone liked them. Everyone was like, yes, I love the books, blah, blah, blah. They're so nice. I can just bring it every week. It has cool stuff in there. They are $5. If you want to grab one, that would be fantastic. If not, I have printed out just today's worksheet for you, so that you can still keep up with the notes and everything. Amen? God is good, ladies, and I'm so excited about tonight, and I'm excited about this word that he has for you. Who knows the title of this entire series? Tammy, yay! Tammy gets a gold star. Blind leading the blind. Amen? And tonight's message is actually the title message, Blind Leading the Blind. You'll see that on your outline. But before we begin that, a couple weeks ago, the Lord gave me this on my heart, and I just felt led to do this tonight. Before we actually begin this event, who knows the scripture in Matthew 16:19 that says, whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth, and whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. Amen? Well, guys, I just want to let you know that there is mass authority in that scripture. Mass authority. It says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So as I begin to declare this over my life, I feel like the Lord said, let's declare this over your ladies when we have Bible study. And I said, amen. So what I want to do is I just want to bind and loose some things to happen here tonight. Who wants change in their hearts and in their lives? Who wants to grow? Who wants to mature? Who wants to go someplace? Amen? I hope so. That's why you're here. So we're just going to bind some things right now, and then we're going to loose some things. So you don't have to repeat after me. You can just agree with me in spirit, and I'll do the work. Amen? So according to Matthew 16:19, I bind any distraction of any kind. I bind anxiety. I bind depression. I bind disease and inflammation in our body. I bind the things that the enemy sends our way to make us things that are not true, false voices. I bind those things that are not of the Holy Spirit, and I loose God's resurrection power to be manifest in this place even now. Come on. I loose the joy of the Lord to be manifest in the hearts of the women even right now. I loose the peace that passes all understanding, that guards their hearts in their minds in Christ Jesus. I loose that over them right now. I loose that there will be gladness instead of mourning. I loose that they will awaken and feel the peace of God in all areas. I thank you, Father, that we can come in agreement with heaven and that we can declare with our mouth, because there is life and death in the tongue and we shall eat of its fruit. Lord, I want to eat life. Amen. I want to eat the things that you have for me to prosper me, to give me hope and a future in this land. Thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. I already feel a shift in the atmosphere. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Are you ready? Let's get into the word. Blind leading the blind. Our theme scripture here tonight is from Matthew. Actually, it's the theme scripture for the entire series, but tonight we're going to really focus on it. It's Matthew 15:14. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, you can. I'm sure it's written in your outline if you don't have a Bible. I'm just going to read it real quickly to you. Matthew 15:14. How can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? Love this scripture. I'm going to say it one more time. How can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? I want to first ask the question tonight. Who is leading your steps? Just kind of let that sink in. I want you to kind of really think about it. Who is leading your steps? What are you following? Who are you following? What is the thing that grabs at you every day that you find yourself gravitating to? If you find yourselves in pits, you might want to look up and see what's leading you and what's taking you to these places. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Some of the biggest blindnesses we follow is false, is not real, and they're false voices that we hear in our head. Come on, I'm going to demonstrate this for you. Some of the biggest blindnesses we hear are false evidence, false voices coming at you. You know the voice that says you're not good enough? Come on. I'm going to raise my hand. You're not good enough? And so what happens is that we follow that voice and we follow the path of proving ourselves to everything and everyone. Am I talking to someone tonight? And then we find ourselves in pits of, I'll never be good enough. I'll never make it. I'll never have the right this or the right that. Or I'll never get to that place in with my relationship with Jesus. Come on, we can spiritualize this all day. I'll never get to be in that place ministry-wise that I've wanted to be in. Or I've never had that relationship with Christ that I really wanted. We can spiritualize even our walk with Jesus and fall in pits. The reason why I ask this question is because what leads you has a destination. It wants to take you someplace, right? Whatever you choose, whether it be to pits or to progress or to promise, whatever you follow is going to lead you someplace. It has a destination for your life. And how can we see the blind leading us? How can we open our eyes and alert ourselves to it? But before we can fix the blind that we follow, because we always want to do that first, yeah? We want to fix everything around us first before we do anything else. Oh, if I could just fix, my coworkers. Ugh. If I could just fix them, you know, it would just be fantastic. My world would be so much easier. I wouldn't be falling into these pits every day. You know, I would be, oh man, they wouldn't get me down. I wouldn't feel discouraged. I would just, oh, it'd be so much better if I could just fix my coworkers. Or how about your spouse? Man, if I just fixed my spouse, you know, if I just got home every night and he just did the things I needed him to do, if he could just, oh, if he just had the prayer life, Lord, that I had. Come on, you know you prayed that. If he would just read the Bible like I've been reading the Bible, if he would just get on his knees, Lord, like I do, Lord, and, you know, oh, if he could just be fixed, if he could just be fixed, or if my children were just, oh, if they would just seek the Lord, Father, if they would just seek the Lord in all that they think or do, or my in-laws, whatever it is, we want to fix everything on the outside. But I want you to look real closely at what Jesus' words are. Come on, there's promise here. He says, Jesus' word says, the blind leading the what? The blind. The blind. How can we see the blind leading us until we deal with what is blind in us? Come on, I'm preaching good already, ladies. How can we fix the blind that's leading us unless we awaken and view the blindnesses that are in us? If we could open ourselves up and awaken our sight, then perhaps we can see clearly what drags us down in our life. Are you ready? I need a volunteer here tonight. Who wants to volunteer? Oh, I think Chloe does. Come on up, Chloe. Because God really is so cool. He's so creative, God is. He just sometimes will be like, okay, you're going to do a demonstration because the point needs to get across to ladies. Okay, so Chloe, I'm going to need you to be blindfolded. Are you okay with that? Mm-hmm. Okay, do you want the headband or do you want my stockings?
The stockings.
They're really soft. Okay, turn around, and I'm going to blindfold you. Now, no peeking. It's okay. It's all ladies. Your hair doesn't need to be perfect. How's that?
Good.
Is that okay? Okay, now, if you'll just step off this right here. Step right down. Yep, there you do. You're doing fantastic. Okay, I'm going to blindfold myself. Here we go. Ooh, it's dark. Okay. All right. Okay, so here we go. We have two blind people according to Jesus, right? The blind leading the blind. Now, Chloe, you are my leader. Please take me to the back of the church because, ladies, right, we don't want to be stagnant in life. Right? We don't want to just stay here. You know, we want to actually progress in life. Even in our blindness, we want to progress. So Chloe, if you can, if you'll just lead me to the back of the church, can you do that? Okay, here we go. Don't hit anybody. Don't run into the chairs. Ooh. Hi there. Ooh, sorry. Did I touch something wrong? Okay. Okay. Wait a minute. This is just not working. I don't know about y'all, but we're banging into people, Chloe. This is not working. So what I'm going to do is, because this is not working, I'm not going fast enough, I'm not getting to the place I want to get to. So, you know what? I'm going to fix this situation because, you know what? This is going to be good. So I'm going to take off my leader's blindfold because this is going to make everything so much better. Come on, ladies, right? Oh, she is going to be able to take me places. Let me tell you what, we're going to get to the back of that church in no time, right? Come on. Yeah, this is great. She's going to lead me, so you go ahead and lead me. Stop. Okay. So what's happening in this situation? Because, yes, she's leading me, but I'm not seeing anything good. Because I still have my blindfold off. So yeah, I might be going someplace, but I'm missing everything along the way. I am blindfolded and blinded. I cannot see the good that's actually happening here. Therefore, I am dependent on this person to lead me everywhere. Come on, I'm preaching right now. Mm-hmm. I am dependent on this person now to get me from square A to square B. I am dependent on this person to bring me joy, to take me places of peace, to take me places of prosperity, to take me places of abundance. I am dependent on her. Come on. Mm-hmm. But that's not good either, ladies. It's really weird to preach like this. I'm just letting you know. This is crazy. But what happens if I take mine off? Oh Oh my gosh, we got four. I can see now not only her who's leading me, but now I can see in my own life where I'm headed. I can see now I'm not dependent on you, Chloe, and leaning on you and pressuring you and just, the people that are dependent, you know, they need you for everything. Oh my gosh, they need you for everything. But now that I take off my own blindness, the things that cover me up from seeing, now I can pick good. Now I can act on good. Now I can go and see good. Come on, this is good stuff. Now I know to run from that which is not good, that which takes me to pits, because now I have removed the blindness in my own life. I hope you got something from that demonstration. All right. The meaning of blindness is, are you ready? This is in your notes. The meaning of blindness is lacking perception, awareness, or discernment. Lacking perception, awareness, or discernment. I want to go straight into the Bible for the answers that we are asking tonight in our heart. And I want to look specifically into the lives and healing of blind people that Jesus touched. There are four major stories in the New Testament about people that were blind and were made whole. And there is a lot of wisdom in how Jesus approached these blind people. And there's a lot of wisdom in how the blind people approached Jesus. And the reason why I believe that is because there was healing. And I don't know about y'all, but I want to follow wholeness. And when I see wholeness happening, then I want to look and see how it happened. Come on. Are you ready? I want to start in Matthew chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. And when you get there, we're going to be old-fashioned and say amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Oh, great. Love that. Here we go. Verse 27. As Jesus went out from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Look, I'm getting old. I have to put my glasses on. It's crazy. "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Verse 29. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done?" These are fogging up. "Will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this," blah, 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 blah. Okay, I really want you to focus on verses 27 through 30. Now, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to focus on two words in the scripture, belief and faith. Say after me, belief and faith. Now, how do these two words play out in this specific healing that takes place? Okay, well, let's look. The first thing I want you to look at is, what did they call Jesus? When they called out to him, what did they actually say? Let's look. The two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Oh, ladies. Okay, did they say Jesus, or did they say man who heals? Did they say a man walking in street, or even master of some sort? No, they said son of David. Now, there is good information in that, because if you were at that time and you called someone son of David, that means that you realized that he was the Messiah, because prophetic prophecy said that Jesus would come as a lineage from the son of David. Come on. So we have these two men realizing that this is just not a man that's walking the streets healing people. This is the Messiah. Belief. Okay? Belief. Now, I find it very interesting that after they call him son of David, that Jesus turns around and asks them the question, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Now, don't you find that interesting? Because I believe when someone calls on you specifically, and you ask them to do something, or you add, like, let's say I call on Tammy, I need you to come up here. No, not right now. I'm just demonstration. I didn't mean to scare you. But let's say, like, I was like, "Tammy, I need you to come up here and help me with my shoe. It's messed up," or whatever. I'm calling on her because I'm believing that she's going to be able to help me, right? yeah, more than likely, I'm not doubting that Tammy can't come up here and fix my shoe if it was messed up. I fully intend that she knows what she's doing and she can come fix my shoe. So I think it very interesting that Jesus turns and asks this question after these men acknowledge him as the Messiah. But Jesus says, "Do you believe I can do this?" So as I pondered that, I begin to delve a little bit farther and say, Lord, there's something more here. This left me with a question. Is there a difference between calling out to him and believing he is Lord and can do what he says he can do according to his word? Is there a difference between calling out to him, Jesus, help me, and calling out to him believing that what he says he can do according to his word? Is there a difference? To me, this tells me that there is. Do you call him like you call a doctor? You know, we put faith in so much stuff. We put faith in so many things. You know, we talk to the doctor, really believing that the knowledge that they have will give me answers to my issue. We put so much faith in that. But with Jesus, we put limitations. With Jesus, we ask questions. Why? Because our faith needs to be strengthened. Now, Jesus says to them, according to your faith, look at the scripture real quick. According to your faith, where is it? According to your faith, verse 29. According to your faith, will it be done to you? According to your faith, will it be done to you? Now, I want to ask this. Do we make limitations in our life based on our faith? That's a big thing Jesus says. According to your faith, may it be done to you. So when I read that, I'm saying in my own life, I can make limitations based on my faith. Now, let's go deeper. How did these men get their faith? Look at verse 27 one more time. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him. Followed him. Two blind men followed him. This is why I love Jesus. That's why I love the Bible so much. Because there are so many minor components that are major answers. Come on. There are so many minor components in the Word of God that give major answers to our everyday questions that we need. It says that they specifically followed him. Now we know according to Romans 10:17 that faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Thank you. Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means that you get faith by hearing the word of God. Amen? So if they were following Jesus, were they hearing the word of God? Yes. Yes, they were. And just because their eyes weren't working doesn't mean that faith for healing didn't come, because what was still working? Their ears. Now, I want to talk to you about people with limitations. Come on, because this can be a real issue in our life. If we have some sort of limitation, we limit ourselves from receiving God's fullness because of our limitation. We look at our limitation that keeps us from moving forward with Jesus or our walk or in life. Oh, I have this, or I have this issue, or I have this issue. But those are just all excuses, because Jesus says that these blind men still used what was still working in their life to receive faith, to build up their faith, and it caused them to pursue Jesus, and in their hearing, they received healing. And in their hearing, they received healing. So sometimes we give up with our limitations, but really God is saying, don't give up. Use what you got still working and pursue me. Pursue me. Pursue me with what you still got to able and working in your life. Pursue me, because healing will come as you use it. Now, I want to go a little deeper here, because we haven't gone deep enough. This is some meat tonight. Back up what you call out to him for with faith. How do we back up what we call out to him for with faith? It's belief in who we know he is and what he can do according to his word. Okay? So I believe that when we call on Jesus and we need his assistance or we need direction, we call on him and he answers us. But I believe there is power when you back it up with faith and alignment with his word. And this is how I'm going to describe this. When you call on him and say, Jesus, you are who you say you are according to scripture, according to your word. What I have heard and what I have read about you is who you are. I believe it. I know it. You're the healer. Your word says that to taste and see that the Lord is good. I taste and see that the Lord is good in my life. I will taste and see that the Lord is good in my marriage. I will taste and see that the Lord is good in my health. I will taste and see that the Lord is good in my relationships, in my workplace. You start to build up. Does anyone get what I'm saying? You start to build up your faith with his word, which is his will for you. So when you do call on him, you have it backed up with the word of God. There's power in it, ladies. I'm telling you. I've been there. When you call on him, there's faith behind it. Your word says you clothe the lilies, you clothe me. Your word says that you feed the ravens, you feed me. I believe you will provide for me. I believe you will take care of my needs because I've read it in your word. When you start applying the faith from the word of God into your declaration and call on him, things start changing. You start taking off the limitations that you've put there based on your own faith. I'm going to tell you something. You can confess all day long, you know, the things of this world. Or you can decide to confess all day long the reality of God's word over your life. And the more that you choose to do that, the more faith you have that builds up. The more you believe that what he is speaking over you is true, the more you see that thing manifest in your life. His word works. His word works. It works in your life. He just says, you got to use it. Use it. It's a treasure box. You've got to use it. I've got good stuff in store for you, but you've got to use it. Amen? Let's move on. Go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Mark 8, 22. When you're there, say amen. Thank you for doing it just like me. You have to be fun. Okay, 8, 22. Are you ready? Amen. Here we go, 23 to 25. They came to Bethesda, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus said, sent him home saying, don't go into the village. All right. What does the Holy Spirit want to reveal to us through the scripture? A lot. Are you ready? I want you to notice in verse 23, where did Jesus take him? Outside of the village. Outside of the village. In his blindness. So look at this. The city was familiar to him in his blindness. Come on. The city, even in his blindness, the city was familiar to him. He had been around there. He knew the places. He could feel, he could smell, he could sense and taste those things around him. So here Jesus says, I'm not going to heal you here. He takes him outside the city to what's not familiar and says, okay, this is where I want you to believe that I can heal you. I'm going somewhere with this. Therefore, his faith and his trust would have to be greater because he didn't know what was familiar around him. Now, a point to listen to here tonight. I usually teach in the morning, so I want to keep saying good morning to y'all, but it's night time. Don't get frustrated when God takes you outside of familiar. Come on. Don't get frustrated when God takes you outside of familiar. He might be hearing your prayer and acting on it. Come on. Someone need to hear that tonight. He might have heard your prayer and he's acting on it. Now notice that Jesus spit on his eyes and the man could not see completely. Is this because Jesus' healing power has limits? Does Jesus not heal completely? Does his power only go so far? Or maybe you might think his power only goes so far for me. Come on. Because we sometimes do that. Oh, Jesus heals that person, but with me, I'm limited. He's only halfway with me. Come on, I've been there sometimes. I'm going to confess. I'm going to be real with y'all tonight. Does his power only go so far? Does he have limits in his power? I believe he wants us to pursue something deeper. So as I began to study and read this, I said, Lord, what was it about this first touch, second touch? What is it that you're writing to tell your people? Because I feel like every time God does some kind of a healing and he is deliberate about doing something, he wants us to understand something, right? So what is this first touch? What is this second touch? Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you come into the saving grace of Jesus and you ask him to into your life, that is the first touch of Jesus. Come on. When you say, Jesus, I give you my heart, forgive me of my sins, and you come into family with him, I believe that's the first touch. The second touch, I believe, is when you pursue intimacy and relationship with Jesus. That is the second touch. When you pursue intimacy, relationship with Jesus, things that look not real in your life begin to come alive. Because as you remember, the first touch, he saw stuff, but it was unclear. Come on. Go back to that day when you first got saved and you were walking away and you're kind of like, man, I see stuff. But there's still some stuff in my life that's unclear. You still might be there. I got some stuff still that I'm still unclear about. A lot of stuff still. But the second touch clears things up for him. Because I believe that Jesus says, come get some more of me. Come to me. Come. I want to give you some more insight. I want to open some more stuff up in your life. I want to show you some deeper things, but I want you to want it. I want you to come to my altar. I want you to come on your knees. I want you to humble yourself and ask for me to come and do this in your life. I want to have communion with you. I want that second touch. Jesus, oh man, there are times when I'm in my car and I'll just say, Father, if I feel like there's some blindness in me, Father, I need the second touch right now from you. I need you to open my eyes so I can see clearly that which you have marked out for me, that which you have for me to come in to understanding in. This is why all of a sudden, as we pursue intimacy and relationship with Jesus, come on, you know this has happened in your own life, things you used to do bother you now. All of a sudden, you find yourself like, oh, man, that used to not bother me to do that. But all of a sudden, I do it now, and I feel this kind of yuck. That's because you are pursuing intimacy with Jesus. And the more you pursue him, the more you become like him. Come on. You take on his nature. You take on his who he is. And the more you get around things that you used to put up with, you're now saying, not for me anymore. Not for me anymore. From a different angle, are you ready? Ooh, I love it when the Bible shifts angles. For those of you that are thinkers here tonight, you're going to love this. From a different angle, this is also a foreshadowing of what he did for us. Ooh, it's hot. Do y'all mind if I take this off? Okay, I'm going to have to put my little mic right there. Okay, oh, praise the Lord for that. Okay, from a different angle, this is also a foreshadowing of what he did for us outside the city where our true sight was open. Come on, who knows where I'm going here tonight? They led Jesus outside of Jerusalem to Golgotha, and that is where he gave his life for you. Look at Hebrews 13:12. You don't have to look it up, but you can write it down. It says, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Wow. 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 Remember the first touch. Remember he saw shadows and men who looked like trees walking around. Old law is a foreshadowing. Come on. You see shadows when you read old law. You see shadows. You see foreshadowing. But new law sees fulfillment of the shadows that you saw in old law right now. So this is also a foreshadowing of what Jesus ultimately did as he was taken out the city gates and gave his life to restore our ultimate sight. Come on. I need a big amen. That's some good stuff. Who wants to see fulfillment of the shadows in their lives? Ding, 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 ding. I'm going to be truthful tonight. Who needs the second touch tonight? Come on. Who wants the second touch tonight? Who wants to see fulfillment of the shadows that they have been chasing and said, Lord, things have been unclear for days, for years, for months, and I'm tired of it. Pursue intimacy with Jesus. Get in a relationship with him on a daily basis like you would with a best friend or you would with a spouse. Get with him and pursue relationship. Let him touch you and let him restore your sight completely so that what is unclear becomes clear in your life. Me, 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 me. I want the second touch. And I hope and pray that I wake up every single day longing for it. I hope and pray that every day I wake up and say, Lord, I want a second touch from you today. Don't let me be blinded to what it is that you have for me in my life. I don't want to miss your best because I wasn't willing to open myself up to you and take on your nature and who you are. Is anyone getting anything tonight? Let's go to John chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I love it when we get things from all four of the Gospels. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Oh, this one's fun too. All right, amen. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And then he goes on to say, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 6, having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Okay, I want to point something out. This is the second miracle of blindness where Jesus used to spit. Don't you find that interesting? Because if you really follow Jesus in the New Testament, and we're talking like you study the miracles, you study the thing, he doesn't do a lot of things the same way. He changes things up quite a bit. So when he decides to use his spit twice for one specific healing, which is blindness, I'm going to pay attention. What are you trying to tell me, Lord? What is your spit have to do with anything? Well, that's why I went in and Googled all about the spit and saliva and what it means. Come on, you're going to thank me for this. Did you know that saliva is made of 98% water? 98% water is saliva. Who is Jesus? Amen. Thank you, Tammy. Jesus is the living water. So what is this telling me? It's telling me him poured out for us. He heals us as he pours himself on us. Come on. As he pours himself out on us, there is healing. When Jesus comes into your life and he pours himself out on you, there is healing. When the living water washes over you from head to toe, there is healing. Who has had an encounter with the living water? The living water brings healing. As Jesus pours himself out, you receive healing in your life. You are washed by him. He awakens you to perceive and understand blind areas in your life. As Jesus pours out on you, he makes you aware of blind areas in your life. But notice he poured himself out on him But it didn't heal him. Come on, I'm going somewhere. Here we go. Jesus pour himself out. I mean, he's a living water. He heals us. He gives us what we need, right? Why isn't that enough again? Because Jesus always has answers for every place we are in life. And he wants us sometimes to seek a little bit differently for different kinds of healing. Are you ready? He sends him someplace else to actually see the manifestation of his healing. Come on. He pours on him, okay, and then sends him to actually see the manifestation of the healing that the man needed. What does this mean? One more time. I want to read that. Verse 7. It says, go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sit. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. This is where God might send you someplace for spiritual maturity and healing in your life. Come on. This is why we have counselors. This is why we have mentors. This is why we have coaching. This is why we have doctors. This is why we have hospitals. This is why God still allows us to go places to see manifestation of his healing. Now, this does not mean that Jesus hasn't already touched you. He has. His living water is poured out on you. If you believe in him and have received him, his living water is in you. He's touched you. But sometimes you got to give some effort and say, Lord, is there a pool of Siloam you want me to go to see the manifestation of what I lack? And there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean that you have no faith or you don't have enough faith. It means that you're walking in wisdom and discernment and alignment with the Word of God. Whatever it is, maybe God wants you to go through some spiritual maturity and he wants you to meet with a mentor and say, hey, I've got some things in my life. And sometimes that spiritual mentor is given awareness through the Holy Spirit to help you see things that you can't see, but God has given them insight to see them, and they can with grace impart to you those areas and healing can come. Come on. This is good stuff. Bible studies, church, prayer groups, whatever it is, ask the Holy Spirit to direct you. If you are still believing and asking for the same healing in your life, he might be telling you to go. He might be saying, go, 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 go wash in the pool of Siloam. Go, I've got the manifestation of your healing. I've got it, but I'm going to use a different method this time. Ooh. Luke, go to Luke. This is our last one. Are you ready? Luke chapter 18. 18:35. Oh, this is an exciting one too. I get excited about the Word of God. Luke 18:35. The blind beggar receives his sight. Here we go. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David. Uh-oh. He understood that he was the Messiah as well. Have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. Oh, I love that. Lord, I want to see. I want to see the blind areas in my life. I want to see your goodness in the land of the living. I want to see the opportunity. I want to see the places in my life that are holding me back. I want to see. That is a powerful statement to make to the Lord. I want to see. That's what he tells him. Okay, going on. Sorry, I got off track. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Let me tell you what, that's testimony. That's testimony. That's what happens when someone is awakened and the light shines on them and they begin to see the things and then they declare praises to God and they give their testimony. What happens? The people believe and they get excited and they praise God along with him. That's testimony right there. What is the question? What is God trying to tell me through this scripture? What do you want from me? Is Jesus' question here. That's funny, right? Here we go, Jesus. Son of David, Messiah. Ah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Think about this man walking along, like screaming his name. And Jesus turns around and says, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? So I think about Jesus' character like that. You know? Like, here I am, Amanda, on my knees, begging. Jesus, calling out to him, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And he's standing there saying, what do you want from me? And here I am, just so all about just asking for, you know, calling on his name. And he's standing there saying, what do you want from me? Tell me. Reply, I want to see. I want to see. Don't be afraid to ask God to show you blind places in you. Come on, this is what it's all about. Don't be afraid to ask God to show you blind places in you. Lord, I want to see. I want to see why I don't get along with this person. I want to see why there's a struggle all the time in this area of my life. I want to see why I'm not going to the places that I want to go spiritually. Open my eyes, because I want to see. I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. He's standing there saying, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? Tell him what you want. Be specific with Jesus. He wants to hear from you. Ask him. Ask him, because he longs to have communion with you. He wants you to be specific with him because he wants to have communion with you. Relationship. Relationship. Back and forth. Now I want to go a little deeper with this. I want to talk about this man and what he did, because there is power in what he did here. Because this is life and this is real stuff. And just because this was happening in the Bible days and there was different circumstances, when I read this, I see this in my own life and I see it in today. And I believe that the Word of God is so translated for us in any area of our life. I really declare, I believe it. I want us to look at verse 39. Are you ready? It says specifically, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Those who led the way rebuked him. That's horrible. Can you imagine? I rebuke you. Shut up. Go somewhere else. Ah, could you imagine? What are you doing? Hush. He didn't have time for you. Those who rebuked him, those rebuked him and told him to be quiet. What did this man do? Come on. Shouted even louder. Shouted even louder. Now, how does that relate to me now? Even when life talks bad about you, shout louder. Come on. Even when life talks bad about you, come on. This is, someone needs to hear this right now. Even when life talks bad about you, shout louder. Be persistent. Because the negativity will come in your life, and there will be the circumstances that will come at you and say, look, your life is bad, rebukes you, tells you to go be quiet. No, don't shush. Shout louder. Shout louder. Say louder. Say, no, I believe, Jesus, you are the healer. No, I believe that you are going to restore my life. No, I believe that you are going to do a new thing in my marriage. I believe it. I believe it, that the relationships that I'm involved with that are not good, Father, I believe you're going to restore all things and that you're going to bring back what the locusts have stolen. Shout louder, because life will give you bad reports. It will try to tell you to be quiet and go sit in your corner. But Jesus longs for us to shout louder. What if he would have listened to the life and would have turned around and walked away? Would he have received his healing? No. Don't give up, guys. Don't give up. Shout louder. Be persistent. When life comes at you, go for it and say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Son of David, Messiah, healer, defender, rock, fortress. Greater are you that is in me than he that is in the world. Declare it. Keep pressing on and forward. It's going to come. It's in his word. It says it. That's good stuff. Opening up your awareness to what God wants to heal in you is critical in your walking forward in relationship with Him. It is, guys. It is. If you're stuck, if you're in a pit, then there's something that God wants to do in your life. There's something that He wants to heal in your life. He's something that He wants to restore. Why? Because He loves you so much and He wants the best for you. And the best for you is not for you to continue to walk out your life with blindness on you. Come on. It is not His will for me to try to get by and see. It is not His will for me to be constantly dependent on somebody else who has removed their blinders and try to follow them. It is not His will for you to live like that. His will is for your eyes to be awakened, for you to lead, for you to trust, for you to have faith, for you to move forward. He wants you to come into that place with Him, and He wants to bring healing. If you want to move forward with Him, it is critical that you get to a place of healing in some areas in your life. Don't keep bouncing off walls. Go deeper. Seek out Him for restoration of sight. Come on. Seek out Him for restoration of sight. There are some times when I'll just have to put my actions and my faith into actions, because we know that the Bible does say what about faith and actions? That faith is dead without actions, right? So sometimes we just got to say, Lord, I need You to do something in my life. I need You to open my eyes, because I keep falling into this pit. I keep falling into this pit of jealousy. Come on. Who has those pits in their life? Come on. Come on. Ah, you know, the Instagram, whatever. Ah, you know, I just keep falling into that pit of jealousy. Sometimes you just got to put your hands on your eyes and say, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, open my eyes to see that which I am blind to in this area of my life. I need healing. I shouldn't look at that and think that's what I am in covet, Lord. Open my eyes. Whatever it is, just be faith active with God. He loves that. He wants to show you stuff. Now, don't get scared when you take your hands off and you see the real stuff, because sometimes it's ugly. But if it's ugly, that means there's progress happening, because now you see and you can clean it up. Amen. God is good. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this time. Father, I thank You for this evening, Lord, and these women that have come, Lord, to hear from You, Father. These are Your words. These are not my words, Father. And I thank You, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us here tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank You so much for Your presence that's so just unbelievably welcoming and loving towards us, and that You are so kind, Father, that You are a kind King. Father, You are a kind King, Lord. And You want to show us the best You have for us, Father, so that we can walk out our days and truly live according to Your word that says that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, I love that scripture, that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, I decree it and I declare it over these women, Lord, that they would see with their eyes, Lord, spiritually, physically, and mentally, Lord, that they would see with their eyes Your goodness as You work through them and in them, Lord Jesus. They would finish the race marked out for them, Lord, with their blinders off, Lord. We thank You so much for who You are. We love You, and we just pray for Your amazing love to just fall on these women as they leave this place and as they go forth through this week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.